Lipitor has been called the cash cow of the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, having made the company more than $100 billion in the past 10 years. Lipitor is used to treat high cholesterol and is said to account for 25% of Pfizer's revenue. This past Wednesday, Pfizer's patent for Lipitor expired. So what happens now? Adam Fine is an economist and consultant who blogs about the industry at drugchannels.net. And Adam, your clients include most of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies. So walk us through this process for when the patent for a drug expires.
Generic competition in the United States is governed by something called the Hatch-Waxman Act, which provides an incentive for generic companies to challenge pharmaceutical patents. The first company to do this, sometimes called the first-to-file company, has 180 days of market exclusivity. Typically, when that first-to-file company enters the market, retail prices of drugs will drop by about 10 to 15% versus the brand-name drug.
Well, who was the first-to-file for Lipitor?
In this case, it was a company called Ranbaxy. They have, over the years, had some manufacturing quality problems, and there was a great deal of uncertainty about whether they would be able to actually launch the product. As it turned out, they settled with the FDA and did indeed end up launching their product through a partnership with another generic pharmaceutical company called Teva Pharmaceuticals.
I understand there's also an authorized generic form of Lipitor being marketed by Watson Pharmaceuticals. How does Watson also get the right to sell in this exclusive period?
Well, the first-to-file company submits what's called an abbreviated new drug application, or an ANDA. That means they don't have to run clinical trials. They can simply demonstrate to the FDA that their product is bioequivalent or comparable chemically to the original branded product. At the same time, there's an opportunity for a branded manufacturer to use their original new drug application, or NDA, and license it to another company. And that is what is often called an authorized generic. The presence of an authorized generic simply means that during that 180 days, that first 6 months, there could be two different generic competitors. After that six-month period, it really becomes a wide-open field, and depending on the nature of the product and the size of the market, there could be anywhere from 3 to 25 companies entering in a generic market. Remember, they are selling the exact same product, which means prices very quickly drop down to the cost of producing those products. You'll often see some very large generic products selling for literally pennies a pill.
Now, Pfizer isn't taking this sitting down, though. They've jumped into this and are offering discounted Lipitor to companies if they refuse to sell the generic drugs. And a group of senators is looking into the allegations of this and whether this is legal. But they're also sending cards to customers to give them the same price for Lipitor as they would for a generic drug. Tell me how Pfizer is pricing Lipitor to compete with the generics.
Well, Pfizer is pursuing a very unusual strategy. The key principle to understand is that more competition lowers prices. What's unusual here is that Pfizer, which is one of the three companies competing to sell this product in the six-month period, has decided it is going to also be price competitive. What Pfizer is doing is saying they would rather have some of that revenue rather than none of that revenue.
And they'll still be turning a profit?
You know, I don't have any access to how Pfizer is going to earn its money for this scenario. But typically in the pharmaceutical industry, the majority of the costs are often incurred before the product even launches. The cost of actually producing it is relatively low compared to the selling price. That's a piece of the economics that sometimes people don't understand. It's sort of like building a large factory. You have to spend all the money to build the factory before you can make the first product you're going to produce.
Now, when the generics come on the market, as you've said, the price is expected to come down. And you've written that the party that benefits the most is not the drug company or even the patient, but the pharmacies. How so?
Remember, the companies that are coming with the generics do not have to incur any of those upfront expenses to discover the medicine, test the medicine, market the medicine. All we have to do is try to manufacture it as inexpensively as possible. Let me give you one example. the number one most prescribed drug in the category that Lipitor exists, cholesterol-lowering medication, is a product with the generic name simvastatin. This used to be a branded product called Zocor, but is now a generic product. Simvastatin sells for an average of 1 to 2 cents per pill from the manufacturer. Now, the reimbursement the pharmacy earns has to cover their costs, but is often tied to that original brand price in some cases. So therefore, there can be a great disparity or spread between the price the pharmacy is buying it from the manufacturer and the price the pharmacy is getting from an insurance company that is paying for your prescription on your behalf.
In your blog, you've written about a generics wave that's coming in the next 5 years. Can you explain what that wave is and how much it will cost the industry?
Well, the generic wave refers to the fact that we're going to face an unprecedented period when roughly $80 to $90 billion of current branded drug revenue will be subject to generic competition. What that means is that $90 billion will become, let's call it, $10 billion. That's an enormous drop.
You know, you consult to these drug companies. How are you advising them to compete with the generics? And in looking at what Pfizer is doing now, what is the wave of the future of competition for these generics?
Well, the number one strategy for any pharmaceutical manufacturer is to discover an innovative new therapy that treats a disease that has not been treated before.
So find new drugs.
Find new drugs. Now, what is happening is just because of so many drugs have already been discovered, many drug developments are focused on what are sometimes called specialty drugs that are targeted to very small patient populations. The pharmaceutical industry of the future will be one in which there are many, many very inexpensive drugs for extremely large patient populations to treat conditions like high blood pressure or high cholesterol, and more expensive drugs that treat extremely serious conditions that only affect a relatively small number of people, like multiple sclerosis or certain types of cancer. So the future of the pharmaceutical industry is really being much more focused on these smaller markets that require a very different focus.
Adam Fine is an economist and consultant who has worked with most of the major pharmaceutical companies. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.